Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. We're glad you're joining us today. We've got a great show for you. I'm Mitch Lawrence here in the Seaside Golf Capital of the World in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My buddy, my co-host, my partner in golf travel crime, Darren Bunch, out there in California. Darren, I know both of us are excited because we have had a lot of guests so far on the podcast, but I know we're both looking forward to talking to our friend Sean Ogle.
Oh, we definitely are. I just like to say Sean Ogle. I like his last name for some reason. And
yeah, I wonder why.
I've been thinking all morning while we've been leading up to this. We're going to Oogle Ogle and talk about all the golf that he has played and a lot of other things, including the Breaking 80 Club, which I had a rare kind of run in while I was in Ireland recently that we'll talk about a little bit.
All right, we'll get to that in just a second. First of all, as I said, glad you found us, golfnewsnet.com, on iTunes Podcasts, on Audioboom, on Stitcher. Darren, you can find on social media, at Getaways Golf on Twitter and at Golf Getaways on Instagram. You can find me on both, at Mitch Lawrence, that's L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E. And before we get to Sean, who is waiting patiently in the beautiful environs of Portland, Oregon, even though it may be a little rainy soon, that's part of the charm. I know Sean will talk about that. I want to get to a fabulous place and our sponsor for this particular episode. It's never a bad time to talk about the islands and our friends at golfpackagepros.com. They've launched a brand new golf packaging site. This is exciting, to help with everything you need for your next great golf getaway to our favorite Hawaiian island, and that would be Kauai.
Oh, that's right, Mitch. And what's the word of the day? Do you know it?
Hokuala.
Hokuala. I love saying Hokuala and using the new GoGolfKauai.com website. You can book from five different golf courses, including the picturesque Hokuala, which used to be Kauai Lagoons. You can also play Poipu Bay. You can play Princeville Mackay. You can play Puakea. You can play Wailua. And you can choose from three great places to stay: Courtyard Kauai at Coconut Beach, which just sounds yummy, near Wailua. The Kauai Marriott Resort, which is next door to Hokuala. And the Grand Hyatt Kauai, which is one of my favorite places on earth and has one of the best water slides that I've ever ridden.
You know, in certain states, you would have been arrested three times for the words you just said in Hawaiian. but we're glad, we are really glad that we have Golf Package Pros and their team, friendly, their family run, which is a great thing because you're always sure to get great service, expert assistance in building the perfect golf getaway for you and for sure for your family. For more about booking your next great golf getaway, visit gogolfkauai.com. Today. All right. Now that Sean has listened to all that, and I know is Hawaii dreaming as we always do when we hear the word Hawaii, but we're going to get to Sean, and he is one of those guys we've been lucky enough to meet and run into the past couple of years at the PGA show. We just, all of us kind of hit it off because we share a truly common belief that golf should be a game of fun. He is the founder of the golf site Breaking 80, and that's spelled out E-I-G-H-T-Y, where he is, and this is so cool, and such a great idea, I have to say, documenting his quest to play the top 100 golf courses in the world, both private and public, because why do something small time? He recently founded the 80 Club, which is a golf society and online forum for private club members. We'll get into that. When he is not on the golf course, which by my count is like 6 minutes a day.
Yeah, that seems like
he
never.
He runs Location Rebel, which is a community that teaches people how to build small lifestyle businesses that allow them to quit their jobs, travel, and do more of the stuff they really enjoy in life. This is certainly, you understand now why we're interested in talking to Sean. You can find him on Instagram at Breaking 80, again spelled out, and on Twitter at Breaking_80. And Sean, I know we've all had the chance to talk before, but to have you on the show is a real treat. And we're glad you could spare some time from what is obviously a hectic, hectic schedule. Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you guys for having me and for getting me so excited about going and booking a trip to Kauai.
That's our goal.
Right. It worked. I'm ready to go.
We always like it when the guests chime in on the sponsor of the day. So, and you've not been to Kauai, so it's on a bucket. It's a bucket lister for you, right?
It totally is. So one of these days soon, I'm going to make it happen.
Nice. Now, speaking of bucket lists, let's start this off. We're going to kind of go backwards here a little bit because we definitely want to hear about breaking 80 and how you got into all that. But I just came back from Ireland and I was playing Portmarnock, and I was it was set up for me by somebody else. And at the last second, I got a call. I was going to play with a PR guy, and at the last second, I got a call and said, would you like to play with a member who is hosting two Americans today? And I said, of course, obviously, I'm up for playing with anybody. And I showed up out there. I met the host, the member, Donald Lowe. Donald, how do I say his name? Donald Quinn. That's how I say it. And he was playing with two Americans, Kevin and Mike. And it turns out that those guys, they all met, the three of them, through your Breaking 80 Club, which I didn't realize until we were sitting around having fish and chips after the round. So talk a little bit about the club and how you've put it together and really what the goal of it is.
Yeah, so we started the 80 Club back in like December. I've been really fortunate. Since I started Breaking 80, I have had dozens, if not hundreds of people reach out to me to say, hey, if you're ever, you know, in my hometown, come out, I'll take you to my club and my course and I'll, you know, show you around. And some of these people are, you know, members at some of the very best golf clubs in the world. And so I've been really fortunate to be able to experience that. And I realized that I kind of built up this network of people that had a few things in common. You know, they often tended to be younger guys. They love to show off their home course. They like to travel and experience other courses, and they just like to geek out about golf. And so the 80 Club is my attempt to bring all of those people together to strengthen all of our networks, and also allow people to play courses that they might not have been able to play otherwise.
Yeah, and it seems like a perfect setup. You know, in this case, and I didn't realize that Donald, the host, was also a Breaking 80 Club member. So, I mean, it was just kind of the perfect mesh of these. And obviously, I've known you for a few years now. And so it was this weird kind of come together of all these different worlds while I was halfway around the world, which was pretty cool.
Well, I was so excited to get that text message from you that, you know, said you were playing with all of them, because the whole reason that I met Donald is actually kind of interesting as well. I was going to Ireland for a wedding over New Year's this past New Year's. And I was trying to get on Portmarnock. It was going to be the one round of golf I was going to be able to play. And they didn't have any visitor tee times available. It was like, I was trying to play on like January 3rd. And I got an email out of the blue from him just as a blog reader 2 weeks before saying, hey, if you ever find yourself in Dublin, I'm a member at Portmarnock. I'd love to have you out. And I was like, nice. Well, actually, it just so happens that in 2 weeks, I'm going to be out there and I've been trying to get on. And what was funny about it was one of the championship nines was actually set to be closed. They were doing work on it. And so he actually went to the superintendent, the greenskeeper. He's like, hey, I've got this guy from America that's coming out. He's trying to play the top 100 courses. Is there any way we can open up this nine so that he can play it? So he actually got them to open up the course for me so that we could go play the championship nines. And that was when I told him about the 80 Club, got him involved. And he's been awesome. He's hosted at least two or three guys out there. He was the one that, you know, helped Kevin and Mike get set up there. And so it's been really cool to see guys playing courses and, you know, getting together all over the country and the world through meeting in this club.
And a quality guy and a hell of a golfer, by the way. I was telling Mitch when I got back from the trip that obviously, you know this, that Mitch and I play hickories, and anybody who listens probably knows that. And that on the links courses, we like to putt the ball from as far out as possible. And I think Donald, he may have putted a couple of times from just inside 100 yards on the day we played. It was awesome. He was putting from everywhere in the fairway and just, you know, showing us how links golf was played. It was pretty fun to watch.
Well, and that's the perfect course to do it as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's talk if we can about, because to me, when I started really researching, I mean, we'd met, we'd talked, but when I really started looking at your life and what you've done with your life and how you help other people do what they want with their lives, it's fascinating to me that all of it has come together in the way that it has leading up to the kind of experiences that Darren's talking about and that you're talking about. Give us a little kind of brief glimpse into how you went from the life that you had to this ridiculously, not ridiculously in a bad way, incredible life of truly doing what you love, what you want all the time, and helping other people get involved in the same way.
Yeah. So I had the most like average middle class upbringing imaginable, you know, white middle class kid. I always knew what was going to happen. When I was in sixth grade, I knew that I was going to go to Oregon State University and I was going to room with my best friend, Jacob. I knew I was going to study business. 6 months before I graduated, I got a job as a financial analyst. So it was always follow the path of least resistance. But when I graduated school, I had two goals for myself. I knew I wanted to travel the world and I wanted to start my own business. So I went into a finance job as an analyst in July of 2007. Probably the absolute worst time to get into finance or, you know, the job market in general. Stock market was at 14,000. By February of 2009, it was down in the like 6,500 range. Everybody was miserable. You know, the market had collapsed. I was unhappy and I wasn't getting closer to any of my goals. So I ended up taking all of my vacation time that I'd saved for like a year. And I begged my boss for months to let me use all my vacation days to go down to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil for the carnival celebration with a friend of mine. And so went down there for 2 weeks. Had the absolute time of my life. We went dancing in the carnival parade. We went hang gliding over Rio. We went down to Iguazu Falls, one of the seven natural wonders of the world. And I got back and was just like, oh my God, like I can't handle this. Also, to make matters worse, the day I got back, I got a 20% pay cut. It was basically like, it was a small business. It was like, we can take, you know, 20% pay cut across the board, or we can lay somebody off, which would probably be you. And so that was kind of my impetus to say, you know what, like there's never going to be a better time to take a leap and to do something, you know, a little bit risky or a little bit out there, but has the potential to pay off down the line. So that's when I started my first blog. It was called Location 180. And it was basically my attempt to hold myself accountable for all of the cool things I wanted to do in life. So earlier you mentioned bucket list. That was the very first thing that was on my site, was I published my bucket list and all of these things I wanted to do. And I started, you know, with the goal of checking at least one thing off a month. And over the course of the next 7 months, that led to me doing some interesting things, but also eventually leaving my job, selling my car, and moving to Thailand, which is kind of how all of this started. So I lived in Thailand for the better part of the year as I learned how to do online marketing and I grew my business and I kind of had the adventure that I'd always wanted.
Was Thailand on your bucket list?
It was. So it was a place I'd always wanted to go. I wanted to go to a full moon party on Koh Phangan.
All right. That's a subject for another show.
That's another show.
But how cool. And then, so then the blogging part leads to this other thing. You help people explore the ways that they can do what you did, which is essentially to be able to do what they want anywhere in the world, which I think is obviously a great idea. Tell us, talk us through the golf part of this, because obviously the Breaking 80 came about and it's kind of taken on this incredible life too. So it all fits together. How did the Breaking 80 part fit in?
Yeah, for sure. So I'd started this blog and I've been doing it for a couple of years. Eventually I created this course, Location Rebel. It was basically, hey, I figured out this process for building a small business that allows me to travel and everything. Maybe it'll work for other people as well. And created this course and community. And to my surprise, it took off. You know, people started joining, they were having success. It was great. And so that had been going on for about a year and a half. And, you know, been making some money, you know, things were going really well. And I realized, you know, I was traveling 3 or 4 months out of the year. And I still travel 3 or 4 months out of the year. And I said, you know what, I've kind of got, you know, this lifestyle business and this entrepreneurship thing, you know, down. Let's create a new brand around something that I'm really passionate about and really excited about. Let's take these marketing skills that I've learned and apply it to something fun. So that's how Breaking 80 came about. I think it started in, it was like summer of 2012. And I was here in Portland talking with a friend of mine and we were, you know, going back and forth on golf blog ideas. And, you know, for the first couple of years, it was really just me trying to create the golf blog that I wanted to read. You know, at the time, there wasn't a whole lot of good resources out there. In the last couple of years, I feel like it's blown up. We've seen a lot more, you know, golf blogs out there and people doing a really good job with it. But at the time, there wasn't a whole lot there. So I started, you know, documenting my journey, you know, the travels and the courses I was playing, reviewing, you know, products, mostly smaller boutique products, and generally just doing it from the standpoint of the amateur golfer. When I started, I was like a 16 handicap. I wasn't very good. So I was just saying, hey, you know, I'm not writing this for all the scratch golfers or all the stuff you see in the Golf Digest and the Golf Magazine and everything. Let's do this for, you know, the average person. And it's kind of taken on a life of its own from there.
And that's kind of how I discovered you. I discovered you on the blog. And obviously we met, you know, after we had kind of bounced back and forth on social media. But it was your mentality, your philosophy about the game that really kind of attracted me to the blog. You know, obviously we had a shared love of Tobacco Road, which anybody who listens to this knows is one of my favorite places in the world. But you know, it's that ability to look at this, you know, not from the scratch player, not from truly the golf geeky side of architecture or that type of thing. Although, you know, we all have a grasp of golf architecture, but it's that ability to see it from the average guy who's just going out and trying to do exactly what you called it. He's just trying to break 80 and you know, put up a memorable score in a memorable place.
Absolutely. And, you know, you really hit the nail on the head when you talk about fun. You know, you look at all the like top 100 rankings and all of that, and so much of it is just kind of steeped in history and, you know, what's always been. And yes, if you're looking at things from a strictly golf architecture standpoint, you know, there's a lot of very good courses that I enjoy the experience of playing them, but they're not necessarily my favorite courses. And so with everything I do on the site, whether it's taking photos, doing product reviews, you know, creating my own, you know, list of top courses, you know, the thing that's always in my forefront is fun, because that's what golf should be all about. You know, historically, it's a game and a sport that people have taken very seriously. And I think that's why, you know, we've kind of seen, you know, a little bit of a decline. So I'd like to, you know, just continue finding ways to make the sport more enjoyable for the average person.
All right, the big elephant in the room, the golf elephant in the room, and I haven't heard any fireworks going off, but question A, have you broken 80? I think we would have known about it if you did.
I have broken 80. I actually, okay. I broke 80 at Bandon Trails for the first time about 2 years ago.
Okay, which is why it's also one of your favorite courses, and I happen to agree with you on that choice. All right, so I want to hear about your breaking 80. I want to hear about the time you broke 80. Darren, I want to hear about your first time, and I'm going to tell you my first time.
All right, so my first time breaking 80 was at Bandon Trails, and we had the absolute best Bandon week possible. You know, we went down, it was the second week of January, and it was 65 degrees and sunny the whole time, like playing in shorts the whole time in January at Bandon. And was playing the courses generally pretty well. I'd shot an 81 at Bandon Dunes earlier in the week, so I was close, was playing good golf. And then I went out on a Wednesday and shot 94 at Bandon Trails and just like playing really well. And then just went just to a horrible round of golf, which was disappointing because, you know, as you guys mentioned, Trails is my favorite of all the courses at Bandon. So for our last day at the resort, we had a choice. We could play Bandon Dunes again or Bandon Trails. And I was like, you know what? Like, I can't end on this note. We got to go Trails again. And I went bogey, bogey to start and then parred out through the rest of nine. So it was two over through nine. And then a couple holes fell apart. 12, the long par three. It's like a 230-yard par three. I duffed it off the tee and then chipped in from like 40 yards away for birdie. And then everything was kind of going up and down. And I got to 17. Bogeyed 17 and was like, oh man, there goes my chances. I was like, I'm going to need to make a birdie on 18, da 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 da. And that's when I realized I had a good drive on 18. I'm walking up the fairway and I realized that it was a par 71 golf course. So all I had to do was, you know, get up, two putt, make a par, and I was going to shoot a 79. And I ended up with like a 7-foot putt for my par that I made. And that was the story. So I was,
Hard was your heart pounding when you had that 7-foot?
Oh my gosh. You have no idea. Cause it was one of those, you know, you go through, you know, so many 80s and 81s before you finally get there. And so I think the fact that I probably had a dozen close calls was like, all right, this is going to be the time where I'm just going to let the nerves go away and actually make a good putt.
How cool. How cool. All right, Darren, give us the quick take.
Well, as you know, I used to live on Rhodes Ranch Golf Course in Las Vegas. And Las Vegas is kind of where I became a golfer because I would get off my shift at the Las Vegas Review Journal at like 2 a.m. and go to an all night driving range around the corner from my apartment at the time, and would hit golf balls. And so that was the first place I broke 90 as well. But the day I broke 80 was one of these kind of crazy shut off your brain type of things, because I was, like Sean mentioned, I was close. I've been playing a lot of good golf, and I was, you know, I had shot 80 a few times. And I went out on the front nine at Rhodes Ranch with some friends, and I shot 46 on the front nine. And I was completely disgusted. Didn't really care. Just wanted to kind of get through the back nine and go home, and completely shut my brain off. And I shot 33 on the back nine, which included two putts that I left a roll short. So I easily could have shot 31 on the back nine. And I totaled it all up, and it was 79. I didn't even realize when I the putt at the last hole was for 79. I think I birdied the 18th to what turned out to be shooting 79.
All right. Was there an article in the paper the next day? Did the Review Journal have a big article?
There was not an article in the paper, but it was the talk of quite a bit
of the newsroom
that I had shot 33, which is still, I think, the best I've ever shot on a nine.
That's so. Certainly with me, it is. All right, here's my quick story. I was living in Los Angeles. I was acting. We used to play a lot. At the time, I was probably playing 3 or 4 or 5 times a week. And we used to play at, there's some great public courses in LA, as everybody knows. Griffith Park, we used to play a lot. And courses in the Valley, there's two of them in Encino. One is called Balboa and one's called Encino. And we were playing Balboa, as I had often. And I, like Sean, like everybody, I had come so close. And it would always come down either to the 18th or the 17th. But the last couple holes usually is where I got too nervous and whatever. And I knew what was going on and I'd blow it. So this one day we went out. And I played really well on the front. I don't even remember what I shot on the front. But I got to the back and I said, okay, this is one of those times. Now I just have to relax. And so I got to, I think I went bogey, bogey as soon as I did that, because it was in my head. And I started getting that feeling again. And then I got to the 15th hole, if I'm not mistaken. This was a number of years ago, but I got to the 15th hole and I said, okay, I have 4 holes left to go and I can do something. And I hit an okay tee shot, a good second shot, but it was just off the green. And that's normally where I would lose everything. And instead I chipped in. And after that, I just went 16, 17, 18. I had 2 more birdies and a par and wound up shooting 75.
Wow.
Wound up just totally demolishing that ghost.
That's, I mean, so often how it happens, isn't it?
It was unbelievable, though. It's like you said, you know how much of a struggle this one barrier is. And to do it that way, to just shatter it. And of course, all my friends, everybody around me, they had to hear about it for, I don't know, a month.
Forever. Yeah. For a lifetime.
Yeah. Guess what I did?
So much so that you're talking about on the podcast so many years
later.
That's
right. But well, don't you think it was worth it?
The first time I broke 80 on a par 72 course, it was the same way. I was on 18, my home course, realized I need to make a par for a 79, stripe my drive, and then hit a 3-wood to 4 feet, make my second eagle ever to shoot a 77.
Nice. There you go. Yeah, it's crazy how that kind of thing happens, because when I broke 90 for the first time, a buddy of mine and I were playing at Angel Park in Las Vegas, and I shot 83 and he shot 84. So it wasn't like I just barely, you know, crossed the 90 mark. We just obliterated it. Now, Mitch,
right. I think now we should talk for the next 3 or 4 hours about every score.
I think we should. But I was going to say this, Mitchell. You've not broken 80 with the Hickories, though, have you?
No, I have not.
See, now I've broken it twice, and both times I have demolished Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire, when I've done it. shooting 79 at Cascada and a 76 at Pelican Hill with the Hickories. So
yeah, see, that's strong stuff. Sean, have you played Hickories? Are you a Hickory guy?
I have not. The one opportunity I was going to have to do it was actually at Somerset Hills, and we ran out of time. We ran out of daylight. We were going to do another 18 or another 9 with Hickories, and it didn't work out. So
wow, what a great place to do it.
We got to get them out.
Well, hopefully the first time you do it, it'll be with me and Darren, and we can really have some fun.
We'll make it happen.
Obviously, we're going to do a emergency 9 with Sean, and some of the other questions we were going to ask in this one, we can ask in that. But about breaking 80 and the top 100, I'm curious how many you have played of the top 100, and are you one of these ultimate list geeks who is tracking which top hundreds you're going from, or do you just choose one of them? Do you choose Digest or Golf Week or whatever, or are you just making your own?
So there's a lot of different ways to look at this. For me personally, I started with the Golf Digest Top 100 Public, and then realized really quickly that I actually wanted to play the top 100. And then after a trip to Scotland, I realized that I played more in the world than I had the US. So it's been an evolution. And one of the things I've learned through doing this is when I first started, I was really hung up on the list. Like, you know, if I was traveling, like I had to play courses that were on one of the lists. And then you realize that's a stupid way to look at things, because there's so many good golf courses out there and so many good experiences that, you know, you use the list as a guideline, but it shouldn't be the be all end all. So I'm kind of at a point now where, you know, if you look at either the Golf Digest, Golf Week, Golf Magazine, you know, I'll try and use that as a reference point when I'm traveling, and I'll play any of the courses on those lists. And then once I get to the point where I've played, you know, 70, 75, or I've made significant progress on one of the lists over the others, that's when I'll really narrow down and focus on doing that. But at the moment, I'm just trying to play as many good golf courses as I can.
That sounds like a perfect plan to me. All right, as we wrap this up, there's a couple of other things we want to know. As far as breaking 80 goes, and it seems, as I said before, to have this great life that is almost self-generating through social media. And again, you've got, I love your Instagram account. And I love what you did too, because you said one Instagram post a day, no more, no less. And I love that attitude. There's so many people that get into posting a gazillion pictures of great golf courses and they're lost in the way they do it. What's next for Breaking 80? What do you see on the horizon? Is there anything else you're interested in adding to it that's going to make it even more robust?
So that's a good question. You know, my biggest focus right now is, you know, the site's been around for like 4 years now. I've kind of got two real focuses. You know, one and probably the biggest one is the 80 Club. You know, so created that as a way to build a small business for myself, connect people. You know, it's by far been the most fulfilling thing that I've done with the brand, and just kind of getting to see all these people connect and meet and everything. The other thing that I would like to do that I haven't necessarily done a good job of over the last, you know, couple of years is doing more reviews. You know, small boutique products generally, you know, kind of for the average golfer with a review from an average golfer. Those seem to be the things that people like to read about. They like to see, but you get busy and you'd rather go play golf than spend time, you know, reviewing all the products. So I'd like to do a better job of being consistent with the reviews that I've been putting out.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. That sounds fabulous. Darren, we mentioned that you're going to do an E9. I can't wait to get to it. Let me just say one thing before we go, because one of the things that I loved about exploring the work that you've done and you're doing, and that includes all of it, the Location 180 stuff and the, what's the new name?
Location Rebel.
Location Rebel. That whole part of it to me was fascinating. The Breaking 80, the club, everything. The thing that I really love about it is oftentimes when I look at different sites, they're scattered. They're all over the place because there's so much information. You have a ton of information on there, but it is so purely who Sean Ogle is that the actual sites and the work is incredibly clean to me. And I mean that in a way of just somebody average looking at it. I hope people will go to it because there's few sites that I see that are as engaging, as informational, as varied as yours is. And I compliment you and congratulate you on coming up with all this stuff. It's really fabulous.
No, that means so much to hear you say that. And kind of what I tell people, one of my gauges of success is that if you meet me in real life, I hope I am exactly the person you think I'm going to be based on reading my sites. You know, I try and be as authentic and as vulnerable and as open as I can about everything I'm doing with those sites. And I think that's one of the things that separates, you know, the stuff I'm doing from, you know, some of the other sites out there. You know, when I started Location Rebel, formerly called Location 180, you know, you can go back into my archives back into May, June, you know, July of 2009. And you can see just how clueless I was as I was going through what I call my quarter life crisis. And a lot of people don't necessarily put that out there. So you don't get to build those relationships with, you know, people online. And so that's one of the things I try and do is I try and build a relationship with every single person that emails me, with every reader, whether it's, you know, the business stuff or the golf stuff. And that, that mindset's served me well and has allowed me to, you know, build a lot of friendships through it that I never would have expected to have before.
Well, that's great. I know Darren would like to see you be a little more vulnerable. But yeah, all right. Thanks, John. As always, great to talk to you. And we're going to get to the Emergency 9. Can't wait for that. Again, you can find Sean Ogle on Instagram at Breaking 80, E-I-G-H-T-Y, and on Twitter, Breaking _ 80. And you can catch us next time. We hope you'll do that. Thanks to the listeners, Darren. We couldn't do it without him. I know you feel that way, too. Darren at Getaways Golf. Me at Mitch Lawrence, LAURANCE on Twitter. Or use the hashtag TalkingGolfGetaways, hashtag Emergency9, or our favorite, as you know by now, hashtag TwoHaggisBags to get our attention. If you enjoy Talking Golf Getaways, please share us on your social media. You can rate us on iTunes. Help us spread the word about the best in golf travel. Thanks again to Sean Ogle. Thanks to Darren. I'm Mitch Lawrence, and we will see you down the road. Somebody who is absolutely run down their own dream. That's Sean Ogle. We hope you do too. Take it away, Tom Petty.